welcome Mayor Al Gameros. Al, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Good. What's happening?
Well, I didn't make last month.
I know.
So I'm going to touch base on a little bit on last month's report and then this month's report also.
All you want.
All right. Sounds good. So really in February, and again, if stop me at any time if you have any questions, and I don't know if we ever get any calls.
Yeah, right, really. And let me give you that number again, because you're the one who should have the question. Go to your phone now, 888-876-5593. It spells 8888 Raleigh, R-O-L-L-Y-E.
There you go. Anyway, in February on the 5th, we had a special scheduled council meeting. That meeting was to hear the results of a City of Globe Water sustainability study. And this study was completed by Matrix New World. We hired them engineering, and it's presented by a Mr. Steve Knoll and Mr. Paul Hendricks. Paul Hendricks is a consultant with the city on our wastewater. Again, this study is vital to our city as we continue to plan for the future growth and sustainability to assure that an adequate water supply is there.
What'd you find out?
Well, we found it was pretty interesting. And this plan in the process was incorporated into our city water master plan. And this can be used by our staff for ongoing upgrades and maintenance for investors and developers that are interested in bringing their projects to our community. So here's a little history on our city. We draw water from the Cutter Basin Aquifer, where we have 5 active wells. And this is under agreement with the San Carlos Apache Tribe. We are limited to 2,500 acre feet per annual average of pumped groundwater from the Cutter Basin. In 2024, the city's demand was around 1,400 acre feet, about 50% of the allotted amount. So we're still about only 50% what we can draw out.
That's wonderful.
You bet. And the city currently approximately has 3,500 water connections that we service in the city. Again, to the west of the city is Arizona Water.
Mm-hmm.
We start about AutoZone,
right.
Globe Mobile Home Park. That then you head west, and that's all Arizona Water.
Isn't it, though?
You bet. So the numbers convey that the remaining allotted acre feet allow for future demands and development growth.
Sure does. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And you know, hopefully with the Marigold project coming on board, you know, that satisfies that. And that's what we want to make sure. You know, we see all these houses and everything going around in the urban areas in Phoenix and Mesa and everything. I just hope that they have enough water supply down
they
there, too.
They don't.
Yeah, and that's a bad thing. I thought that they had to show that a 100-year study would have enough water for that. They had to show that.
Well, they've changed some of the rules because of the disaster in North Scottsdale. When I say North Scottsdale, outside the city limits, and then suddenly the city of Scottsdale decided they weren't going to supply water to these homes.
Yes,
you know, anytime you buy a house and you're dealing with hauled water, you've got a problem.
Yep.
And we do have some homes here that are hauled water.
We do. You bet, in the canyon area, we
yes.
still have areas that still
yes.
haul their
Copper
water.
Hills, yes.
Yep, Copper Hills.
And, you know, think hard before you subject yourself to that, because
you
don't know where the water's coming from. To be in the city of Globe, that's such an asset. Because I know years ago, I believe it was one of the big box stores, I won't mention the name, they were going to come here. And the reason they didn't, it wasn't Globe Water, it was AWC, was that they couldn't get the water pressure for their sprinklers.
You bet, yeah.
So that's a horrible thing to say. So
yep.
Good for Globe.
Yeah, and you got to stay on top of it. And that's really our plan, is because we have so many developers and investors that are interested in the community, we just want to make sure that we're sustainable, not just because we want to come in and generate revenue. It's all about sustainability for the future.
Right, and you've also got a sewer system. So the
you
problems
bet.
That are affecting right now, we were just talking about Tri-City Sanitary District, which mm-hmm. hopefully in the next decade will be fully complete. But you don't have those problems because everybody in Globe is connected, are they not?
Yeah, we have some areas that are not connected to
really?
Sewer. Yeah, we have Upper Yuma. We have about 12 to 15 homes up there that are still on septic tank, but they're so far away from the main connection. I think that is something that's in our strategic action plan. To be able to connect them, hopefully in the future.
Yeah.
But there's still about 12 to 15 homes that are not on sewer up there.
Better than 12 to 1,500.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. And again, the final part of this study gave recommendations for a maintenance schedule, system upgrades, and some budget estimates also to make sure that we're not operating in the red that we're able to afford. Right. And again, that's by some by increasing rates if we have to. We shouldn't have to supplement the cost of doing business.
Right.
So the next thing we had also on the 13th, we had our annual strategic action plan. And the theme for this year's SAP was called Alignment, Charting, and the Course for Success. So again, our statement, our mission statement for our strategic action plan as we got together, in today's dynamic environment, aligning our organizational goals and priorities with available resources is crucial for sustainability, growth, and success. So again, this year's retreat gave the opportunity for council and department directors to review the status of ongoing projects and again discuss any future projects as we prioritize and get our budget ready for the next fiscal year.
Any high points coming out of that? Anything we should know?
You know, our priority this year, and I'll talk about it in my next month report, is we need to fire a ladder truck. Right now, we currently have a ladder truck that's 33 years old. We spent a bunch of money on maintenance in the past 6 to 9 months, and we thought it was going to be okay. In the end, it didn't pass certification. So without passing certification, it presents a liability to the city if we were to operate it. So we're in the process of coming up with funding opportunities. We're looking at $2.5 million.
For a ladder truck?
For a ladder truck. And we're going to have to go with a 100-foot aerial. Right now, we currently have a 65-foot aerial that was, again, purchased in 1992. But we need to go as we progress and we look for the future. We need a 100-foot aerial.
Right. Absolutely.
And costs have really gone up tremendously.
On everything.
Oh, yeah. And we had this discussion, you know, and we look at tariffs right now, and we look at steel. If there's tariffs on steel, now we're looking at the cost of the ladder truck going up even more. If that continues, you know.
What percentage of a ladder truck is involved with foreign countries?
Well, it would be the steel, I would think. Would be the steel.
We're
would
not
be
making a, any steel?
I don't know. You know, I think a lot of steel is imported, and that's a big part of the construction of the ladder truck itself.
Yeah, I remember that discussion when they were starting to import cars in the 60s. Mm-hmm. We joked that, sure, you can import steel. It just has to be in the shape of a car.
Yeah,
so I guess now we've gone full tilt on that.
Yeah.
It's time to do something about that.
Yeah, you bet. So yeah, I don't know. We're exploring a lot of different ways of raising that revenue. You know, it doesn't just affect the city of Globe; it affects the county, it affects Miami, it affects the mine, which are all industrial parks. There is no ladder truck. We have, you know, the only functional operational ladder truck, 65-foot aerial, to get to some of these areas, like in the industrial park, like the mines in Miami. When we had the four buildings burn, we had utilized that to elevate streams. In our downtown area, we don't have the capability to do the elevated water streams for defensive fire right now. So we have a truck that's in the queue right now. We're still 18 months away for that truck to be available. And if we were to go ahead and spec our own ladder truck, it would take 4 years, 3 to 4 years, mm-hmm. to for the return. So we're going to have to do some different things. We're going to have to obviously lease one or something. And we need to work with partners that are affected by us, our community, not having a ladder truck to respond with.
By the way, 25% of the steel in the United States is imported.
25%.
75% is here,
okay.
But the top suppliers, Canada, Brazil, and Mexico, in that order.
Wow, okay.
Now you know.
Interesting. Wow. And then another subject we had on February 21st, we had a statewide lunch with the Mayor Series. And this is put on by Local First, and former Mayor, Mesa Mayor John Giles, is heading this film crew. So he came to Globe as part of a statewide series of Lunch with a Mayor that is funded under, again, like I said, Local First. And he chose, there's about 4 to 6 cities that they're going to highlight. And it was created as a way to spotlight several mayors of Arizona and the communities they represent and what makes their cities unique. it really gave us an opportunity really to highlight our city with all the restaurants, the bars, the businesses, and all the attractions we have to draw tourists to come to visit.
So Globe was picked as one of the cities?
Globe was picked as one of them. There were the third. I think they've done three in the series. We're the fourth one, and it should be coming out. They spent 4 hours here.
That's great. Yeah, who were the first three, do you know? Yeah, I mean, Apache Junction was one.
Yeah, I can't remember the other two that were there, but they were really excited. We really showed them a lot of areas, and they did a lot of drone filming, a lot of interviews. We had lunch at Bravo.
Oh, wonderful.
So they did talk to John Wong.
Oh, and Bravo's terrific.
You bet. So they hosted the lunch, and they got a lot of exposure from it, which is great. So we're waiting to see when that's going to come up. We even cruised downtown in my truck, John Giles, and we put a camera on the windshield, and he was able to see the downtown area while cruising downtown because we told him about our first Fridays and our cruising.
Yeah.
So it was pretty fun to do.
Good.
Hill Street School, I think since the last time, I don't know if it was in, but we did install the three stoplights in that area.
I know stop signs.
Stop signs, I'm sorry.
I've seen the signs.
We did do the three stop signs.
With warnings.
With warnings, yes. Yeah, with yellow warnings, yes. Before you even get to the stop
That's
sign.
That's right.
All solar powered. I know it's a little bit getting used to, but I think it's more of a safety issue.
For a senior complex, of course.
You bet. And we had this study done. It was done by ADOT in engineering. We didn't make the decision as a council. We went by what the engineering study mm-hmm. actually brought forward. So it recommended the three stop signs, and especially for the safety of the kids coming out from the school off of Maple.
Oh, that makes sense. Sure. That should have been there long ago.
You bet.
Because let's face it, Nerdburger is an attraction.
Yep, you bet. And now we have... China Taste had opened up too, so now they have that across the highway too.
Is that back? Really?
It's been open 2 weeks now.
2 weeks? You bet. Tell me about it. New owners or what?
I think they're the same owners. They had the one, what I understand, they had a fire in Safford, the one they had, and they had a decision to make whether to rebuild there or come back here, so they came back to Globe.
Isn't that interesting? Because I know there were for sale signs on that building for quite some time, and
you
it was
bet.
Empty for, I mean, literally years.
Yep.
So now it's back in action.
Back open, and it's been packed. The parking lot has been packed in there.
Now, are they open on the weekends?
You know, I know they're open on Sunday. I drove by there, and they were open on Sunday. And that's another thing. Yeah, we really got to encourage our business community to, you know, really stay open on Sunday, Monday. You really should close Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday if we can, because that's when the highway's closed.
Right. Saturday and Sunday are pretty much no man's land here.
You
and
bet.
It's interesting to me that almost all the restaurants follow the same schedule.
Yep.
And all I could figure is, well, I guess that's when people are buying food. But, you know, on the weekends, very limited choices. So
and
now I think there's two. There's China Taste and DeMarco's.
You bet. And yeah, you that's when the visitors are coming.
Well, sure. Know? Sure. No, I've never understood that.
Yep. So hopefully, you know, we can change that mindset, because we're going to be dealing with this construction until 2026 probably or beyond.
God, and they'll come up with something else. It still slays me when I realize ADOT's thinking, because they do a lot of 50-year plans.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go four lanes to Superior. But after that, Globe doesn't need more than two-lane bridges.
Yep.
That tells you that they've decided in their mind that the growth here will be insufficient for the money it would take to do a four-lane bridge.
Yep.
Unfortunate.
Yep. And I don't know how it's going to end up. I know they're going to widen or put two lanes coming out of Superior up to the bridge. And then it goes two lanes after the bridge. But it still narrows down to the two lanes.
Well, you got the
after.
Tunnel. You know,
you
can't do anything about that. And the tunnel is sort of a three-lane tunnel, two in one direction, one in the other.
You bet.
And that's not changing.
You bet.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting. But absolutely through 2026. And as you have well experienced, and so a lot of people here too, is that those closures are not absolute. They drop too many rocks. You might be closed for days.
Well, the one time the incident were four
January,
days closure.
January, yeah. Yes. My public report for the FCC, I led with that.
Yeah, you bet. Moving on, we heard a presentation. An updated presentation, actually, from Community Development Director, and that's Tony Manfredi. He's the new director there.
Okay.
And his staff consists of a permit technician, a building inspector, and a licensing administrator, code compliance officer, plan review services, and a third-party staff, a zoning administrator that we actually contract with.
Excellent. So that's all under one department. That's so good, because as you well know, a lot of people who bypass permits don't do it because they don't want to apply for a permit. They don't like how long it takes or what's going on or the arbitrary decisions. If they can clean that up, that's good going.
Well, it makes it so much simpler. You know, before we never had the resources or the capability of having a team like this in the past, and we have increased that in the last 4 to 6 years. Because we have to, because we've got more activity that we need to keep up with.
Yes. And that's a real feather in your cap, because so many areas, even much bigger areas, don't do that. And it just becomes a nightmare to go through the process. So we're talking about permit technician, building inspector. Who are the other team members?
Licensing administrator.
Uh-huh.
Code compliance officer.
Okay.
A plan review. Uh-huh. Services, and then the third party is our zoning administrator, and that's Dana Burkhart, and he is amazing. I mean, he knows the zoning in and out. He doesn't live here, but we contract with him because he knows zoning, and he does an amazing job.
That's
really
perfect.
Does for us.
Yeah, so that pretty much is everything, right?
You
there.
Bet.
Good.
Yep. You bet. Like I said earlier, our city did not have this level of professional services and resources 6 years ago, and we were not ready or able to handle the growth and activity that we are now experiencing. And you know, the statistical numbers speak for themselves this past year, as we have seen a tremendous increase in the numbers of service.
Well, that's great. Yeah, you mentioned like 6 years ago. I remember it's about that long. One of my tower clients decided they were going to make some changes, and they put forth some plans, and they were approved. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't own the land. I do. And so I looked at this. I said, you can't do that. And the city literally at that time didn't realize that they were approving something that had nothing to do with the owner. And so when you mentioned all this, it's like, oh, well, that'll cure that problem.
Well, yeah. And you know, it just the way we used to do it in the past, it was one person reviewing it at one time. And then you'd have to go to another part of the city or the county to try and get another recommendation. So one of the huge highlights in this process is we implemented the pre-development meetings. These are held every Friday to review and meet with applicants of permits for upgrades, new builds, and new developments to help them meet their goals. So anybody that is looking even at purchasing a building downtown, it's important that you set up a meeting with a pre-development, because you don't know what things might exist in that building that's going to cost you money in the future.
You know, that's a real good point. A lot of money, because even on some properties, you might not know what you're going to have to mitigate in terms of the EPA.
You bet.
You know, did they have a cesspool? Was it actually in operation, or was it a hole in the ground, et cetera, and so forth?
You bet. And the thing about these PDM, these pre-development meetings, is everybody that I mentioned is represented in that meeting.
Good.
We even have utilities in there. So we'll also have APS. We'll have, you know, utilities that if they have any questions, they're getting the information in one meeting, and it's all documented, it's recorded, documented, and they get a written copy from it also.
Well, that's
terrific. There's no question.
And they check to make sure they own the property.
Exactly. Yeah, you bet. You know, it's important to understand that building and fire codes are developed to protect property and for the safety of the public. Zoning codes are developed to protect neighbors and the integrity of neighborhoods. You know, we've always had these city systems in place through ordinance or zoning, but we weren't always enforcing them fairly and consistently. So now we are.
That's wonderful, because as we know, blight is a real problem here. And I think we're very fortunate that we're not dealing with HOAs, but at the same time, with loose zoning, you can wind up having a block that has a couple really nice homes and the rest of it is just torturous.
Exactly. And we have a lot of those pockets in our community still, and people really fight code enforcement, but really code enforcement is what's going to really make your neighborhood or your community more attractive for people that come through and see it.
Well, it's got to be equal, like you say. If it's meted out unfairly, then that doesn't work. And it also has to be simple to understand.
Yep.
Zoning can't be so difficult that you need a PhD to read the code.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's simple and it's fair, then I think the bulk of people would be right on board with that.
I agree. And you know, it's costly, because, you know, having a zoning administrator isn't cheap. But he breaks it down. I mean, he does an amazing job when they do presentations as far as mm-hmm. if there's a zoning issue. Tony Manfredi is very good with the code. I mean, it's all involved. Even the fire inspector's involved in this also.
So right. And that whoever is doing code enforcement is also needs to be independent and mm-hmm. meting it out equally. Because I know in the past that's been a question on some people's minds, and I understand that. If you say, hey, my neighbor's getting away with this, that, and here's what I got, no, it's not good.
No, you bet. And you know, people need to understand that our council continues to follow their vision and our goals and our plans. We haven't deviated from them to elevate our city to another level, assuring sustainability and growth for the future.
Good.
You know, at some point we need to decide that some things are unacceptable, and that if raising standards and compliance with codes, it's not anti-business, it's pro-community. And that's a hard part we need to know, that we're being hard on people, but it isn't that. We need to make sure that when you're doing work, especially in commercial, you have to be permitted, you know.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with a resident of Bisbee, and we heard of the fire, the two buildings in Bisbee, and I'm trying to get the report, but the report came out that one of the buildings had an unpermitted electrical work done in a jacuzzi,
and
that was the cause of the fire. So it was unpermitted, it wasn't inspected by the city, so now whose responsibility is that?
You know that answer, and that's why it becomes very costly not to do this properly, because as soon as you said those words,
yep.
I'm like, oh God, they have the liability.
Yep.
And they have the liability for the other building that burned down.
Exactly. You just, not only those two businesses suffered from this fire for what, over a year, but the downtown economy did.
And they're on the hook for all of that.
That's it. You bet. So people don't understand that. So if it wasn't permitted, then there was no inspections that were completed. And
right.
You know, so that's what people need to understand. We're not being hard. We're making sure that we protect the people's investments of their businesses in the downtown or any business area.
Well, and sadly, one of the things is a lot of the work here at day one, many decades ago, was not up to any code. And you see that all the time. I've seen things in dwellings here where whoever approved this, you know. And so if you've got a building, let's say you're a business and you've got a building and you want to do an improvement, and suddenly you find out that you're going to be redoing every ounce of wiring in your property, you say, this is ridiculous. Well, yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the angst of someone who thought they had a $10,000 project and it was a $120,000 project. But around here, that's probably the norm to find out that your wiring needs complete upgrading.
You bet. And I think one of the businesses that you look at is Silver Tap. And that building in the array it was in when they purchased it. And the amount of money and look at what they have now. They did the electrical, the sewer. I mean, it's an amazing interior on that building.
Uh-huh.
They did an amazing job.
And where is that?
The Silver Tap. It's a bar downtown.
Downtown.
Yep.
Okay.
You bet. And they have done an amazing job with that building. And they were part of the filming and everything. Arizona Highways mm-hmm. came in and filmed them also, which is great.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about Connie's Bridge. We finally opened it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're aware of that, April
yes.
3rd.
Yes, absolutely. And that goes across Pinal Creek.
Yes, Pinal Creek.
We call it the Pinal Creek Bridge.
Yeah, it's called Upper Pinal Creek Bridge.
Yes, and we prefer to use that on the air.
Okay. It was Connie's Bridge because it was near Connie's. But
that's right, and we don't mention Connie's.
Okay. So it was finally opened, and I know there was a lot of frustration because of the construction taking longer than we expected. And, you know, it wasn't about the time limit after we found out, you know, and our engineer, Luis Chavez, was amazing. He kept up on him, on the contractor to make sure everything was up to satisfactory, up to contract. So it was about the final product, and that's what we were wanting to make sure that we got. And I talked to the CEO from Meridian. They obviously lost a lot of money. We didn't pay any more than the original contract. And there was a lot more work that was needed to be mm-hmm. done in order to make this happen. So that's what people need to understand. You know, it wasn't about the main contractor, Meridian. It was the subcontractors, you know, and the problems we had there. But mm-hmm. Meridian stuck to their guns. They made sure that we had the product that we contracted with, and I have to thank them for that also.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's very honorable because they're absolutely responsible for their subcontractors.
You bet. I would hate to put an amount of money that they lost on this project.
Oh, I know. I'm sure, but they might want to look at their subcontractors a little closer.
You bet. Yeah,
maybe this will save them from a much bigger project.
You bet. But I think we got a top quality project now.
Nice
they
bridge.
They still have to tear down the old bridge. That's in the contract also.
Yeah.
So they'll be doing that too.
But I don't think people care that much if that takes a little while. They can cross a good bridge and know they're going to make it across. And,
exactly.
It's open and all is well.
You bet. And people need to get used to the traffic flow also. Remember that stop signs, there's only two going north and south. Coming east and west, you drive right through. So coming out of Jess Hayes Road, you don't have to stop. Or coming down off Hill Street, you don't have to stop. It's when you're going to Wallaman or coming back downtown to Globe.
Maybe there's a reason that they should add a couple of stop signs there, like they did at Hill Street School.
Well, we started with four, but we went back to an engineer, did an engineering study, an independent engineering study, and that was their best recommendation.
Okay.
So that's what we go with.
Right, and time will tell. I mean, obviously, if there are no accidents, then that's terrific. And if there's a slew of accidents, well, that'll be rethought.
You bet.
Good.
Another subject was outdoor fitness equipment. So we approved a contract with Greenfield Outdoor Fitness, and this is to purchase outdoor fitness equipment in the amount of around $90,000.
What is outdoor fitness equipment?
It's going to be a big area, and I can't remember how many. They're going to be pouring the slab here in the next week or two. This is going to be up by the skate park, by the community center. And what this is, outdoor fitness equipment that's just sets outside and people can go, and there's different types of exercise you'll be able to do in this facility.
Yeah, I'm curious what that'll be.
Yeah, I have a drawing of it. And it's huge. It's huge.
Because
we had to approve the slab. The slab alone was $40,000.
Wow.
But again, this money and this equipment was provided by BHP Copper.
God love them.
Yep. And that was part of their commitment to quality of life and recreational opportunities. They continue to put into our community. So that was purchased equipment from them.
That's wonderful. We've got good mining partners here.
You bet. We'd all three of them, Capstone,
yes.
Freeport, and BHP.
Yes.
You bet. We also received a check in the amount of $25,000. Obviously, we continue our efforts to be able to raise enough money to put the concession stand at the community center pool.
Good.
Which is about $150,000 to $200,000, commercial kitchen, everything. So this check came from Arizona Complete Health Organization, and they were also one of the contributors to the actual construction of the bridge originally.
Okay.
I want to mention Old Dominion Days. It's the 9th annual Old Dominion Days. It'll be held April 24th through the 27th. And this is, again, it celebrates legacy of mining and baseball in Globe, Miami. They're bringing back baseball. They'll be playing games. I don't know what days they are, but it's on the social media site. That's a new event that they're going to bring back, and there'll be a trophy that'll be being able to capture. It's called the First Annual Old Dominion Days Cup.
Great.
So it'll be kind of neat to see that and bring it back. It's a 4-day event. Be coming up on the 24th through the 27th.
Good. It's always fun.
You bet. And my final topic, again, coffee with the mayor.
Yes. Is it still in the same place?
Yep. And I had our second one, and we had more people there.
Good.
And our next one is this Wednesday, April 16th at 1 p.m. Copper City's Coffee.
Okay.
We also have a social media commercial now for it. Again, this is for people to come and ask questions. Just sit back, relax, ask questions. I'll give you what information that I have. If I can't get it, if I can't give you that information, I will get it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm not there to, how am I going to put this? I'm not there. If they have an issue with a certain department or party, that's not what I'm there for.
Right.
I'm there to explain projects that have happened in process and in the future is what I'm there for.
Sure.
So it's been kind of fun. We've had a lot of people come in and ask questions.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, great. Nice report.
Yeah, that's 2 months worth, and I'm working on next month. So,
right.
And that'll include our trip to Washington, D.C. We did complete that, but that'll be in my next month.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. Yes, D.C. is an interesting place right about now.
You bet. It went well.
Oh, good. All right. So that's John has a question.
Oh, where is Copper City's coffee?
Oh, let me give you the address. You know where DeMarco's is?
Yes.
It's across the street.
All right. So across the, in that little shop bed,
yeah,
across the street?
It's 1100 North Broad Street, and they're in Suite F. Yeah.
Okay.
The building's right there across from DeMarco's.
Right. Is that where, like, where the barbecue place used to be, and there was, like, a cell phone company, and there's,
yes,
healing arts, and there's a some physical therapist?
Yes,
they
there is.
That. It's mostly open, but vacant, but it looks a lot better.
Oh, yeah. And there's still one section that's still available for lease.
It's big, too.
Yeah, it's yeah. huge. You can see it when it's lit up at night, but you can... the one where the Copper Cities is where that, you're right, the telephone place was.
Yeah.
And they did an amazing job in there. They put a commercial hood system, and so they offer coffee and food and everything else in that place.
Excellent. So, all right. Bet. Well, good deal. So that's Wednesday at 1 o'clock right here. So you didn't call, but maybe you'll come by.
There you
all
go.
All right. So we'll talk to you next month.
All right. Thank you,
all right. So that's Al Gameros, Mayor of Globe.